Next, we'll get an update from AmeriCare, a Diocese of Phoenix-approved Catholic hospice and palliative care facility, as the Bishop's Hour continues on Immaculate Heart Radio, AM 1310. You're listening to the Bishop's Hour from the Roman Catholic Diocese of Phoenix on AM 1310, Immaculate Heart Radio. I'm Michael Dixon. When the time comes for Catholics to choose a hospice or palliative care facility for a loved one, it's comforting to know that there is AmeriCare, approved by the Diocese of Phoenix, that provides both hospice and palliative care. And to tell us more, we're joined by Bobby Martinez, who's Catholic Mission Coordinator and Certified Grief Recovery Specialist for AmeriCare. Bobby, welcome to the Bishop's Hour.
Thank you for having me.
What's the difference between hospice and palliative care?
That's often a common question that people have. Actually, whenever you hear the word palliative, always you can substitute the word comfort. Palliative care is always part of hospice care. Sometimes people that don't quite meet the criteria to receive hospice support yet kind of fall into this category where people will just be receiving palliative care for a while.
They're not exactly on the train, but they're at the station.
Right. Okay. And actually, AmeriCare, we just launched our own palliative care program in the last couple of months, Trinity Palliative Care. So now we are able to do that instead of having to refer people somewhere else. And that really means that you have a nurse and a social worker that's going to be checking in on you and being a reference and a help to you a couple times a month until you're ready for full hospice support.
What makes AmeriCare Catholic?
That's a great question as well. About almost 12 years ago, a Catholic family of five siblings who are all registered nurses or nurse practitioners and their mom, who's the chief financial officer, began AmeriCare and started to realize that as practicing Catholics, they were treating a lot of their patient cases a little bit differently due to that regard for life.
In really what way?
Caring for people with a respect until a natural death, truly following the ethical and religious directives of the Catholic Church for healthcare, and that really prompted them to reach out to Bishop Olmsted and the diocese and see if we could pursue getting an official decree of being an official Catholic hospice.
That wasn't easy, was it? I mean, you had to jump through hoops to make that happen.
Well, it is definitely a process. Yeah. It's not just filling out paperwork and turning it in and there you go. So, and it's an ongoing process because part of my role is telling the diocese, telling the bishop year after year, we are who we say we are. This is how we're ministering to all of our patients and families. And we care for patients of all backgrounds. So a lot of times people think that we're only caring for Catholics. Right. And that's not true, that we care for people of all backgrounds and all faiths. And they actually seek us out because of that regard and respect for life we have.
Talk about the directives, because I know people may have heard them, but it's always in a crisis context one way or another. But could you kind of explain what they are, why they are there?
The ethical and religious directives of the Catholic Church for Healthcare, people can Google that and they can read about it online. It's on the USCCB website. Section 5 truly deals with care for seriously ill and dying, and that is truly what we're following is mainly regarding that Section 5. What that means is that we always are there to manage people's symptoms, to help them, to bring them comfort, but truly looking at what is extraordinary versus ordinary care, what is proportionate versus disproportionate care, and trying to help our families navigate that, but always having that regard that we care for life in God's time. We recognize that God alone decides when our time on this earth is through, and that our job is to nurture and care for people and help them manage their symptoms and help families. A lot of Catholic families struggle because there's so much offered to them in the healthcare field now, and trying to navigate, what am I obligated to do? What am I not obligated to do? What is ordinary care that I should, as a good practicing Catholic, provide for my loved one or for myself?
And when does it cross the line? And there are actually, the directives are very clear as to the kinds of things that do cross the line, one of which, if it's going to be a phenomenally expensive procedure or series of things, but a lot of things are weighed. You know, will this make a difference ultimately? And those kinds of very realistic things. The directives are not arcane rules from the past that just say, well, no, you know, God expects you to suffer and things like this. Not it at all. They're very modern, very thoughtful ways of helping us to better understand the dying process and what's appropriate, wouldn't it?
That's true. They are in their fifth edition. You know, the most recent edition happened after the Terri Schiavo case was addressed. And also, you know, sometimes they don't give a ready answer to everything. So much of what families and patients are dealing with is in that gray area.
Yeah.
But they do give great guidance and good direction for people to be able to try and discern what am I obligated to do as a Christian? What am I not? What is best for me? When you mention cost, sometimes it's overly burdensome, not only financially, but to the patient themselves.
Yes.
And sometimes doctors may suggest different procedures that really aren't going to benefit the patient and the family. And sometimes they have to ask those difficult questions of how will this benefit me? What is the cost? Not just financial cost, but what is the emotional cost, the physical cost, the spiritual cost to not only myself, but to my family.
When is it time to just let it go? You know, just let the natural process that cannot be stopped, cannot be altered, that would put the patient in terrible discomfort for maybe another week of being in terrible discomfort rather than having palliative care, comfort care, family surrounding them, and making it truly a holy moment of passage between this life and the next.
Absolutely. We have seen many patients and families experience a good death. That is possible to have a good death. And it's unfortunate because it's difficult for people. We live in a society that looks at that all suffering as useless, that we need to stop it, we need to end it. As Catholics, we can see a lot of redemption in our suffering. We can see beauty and graces in that time in our life as we're preparing or our loved one is preparing to transition and leave this earth. And a lot of times, it's a definite conflict. People have one thing that's being told to them by maybe a physician that's been part of their care for years as they've been struggling with a life-limiting illness or condition. And sometimes it's very difficult to know when do I accept what naturally is happening to my body and that it's okay to say I am accepting that this is going to run its course and I want to experience life, my faith, my family, myself in these last few days, hours, months, whatever is God's will for me, and try to manage my symptoms and feel the best I can. And we do see a lot of our patients truly be able to experience that when they accept our support. But many of them, understandably, are frightened. We live in a culture that more and more disregards that gift of life and wants to instead promote power, control. You decide when you die, you decide how. And that really presents a lot of difficulty for a lot of our families.
Well, it gets in the way of faith sometimes
as
well.
It does.
Back to the hospice, back to AmeriCare Hospice. Thank you for that. That was a wonderful exposition of the directives and the benefits that they have, the real humanity behind them. I think that's so important. So let's go back now. Describe the facility. How many patients can you accommodate?
Well, that's a great thing to bring up because a lot of people, when you say what is hospice, they think it's a place that you go. Actually, hospice isn't a place. AmeriCare does own and operate our own inpatient unit. Mm-hmm. It's right off the Mesa Drive in US 60 in Mesa. We do help care for other hospice patients that we've contracted with and when we have room. But it is only 5 bedrooms, 6 total beds. Hospice is more, it's a philosophy of care. So we are caring for the majority of our patients, and our census is in the low 100s right now. We're caring for our patients wherever home is. That is what hospice is. Care comes to you. So most of our patients are in their private homes. They're in group homes, nursing facilities. An inpatient unit is always a temporary stay.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people have a misconception about what an inpatient unit is. Many of our patients are never in an inpatient unit. So inpatient units really are critical care. They're for people that need help 24/7 managing symptoms they're not able to manage at home or on their way out of the hospital. Some people pass away at inpatient units, but a typical stay there is about 3 to 5 days. But most of our patients we're caring for are in wherever that home setting is for them at the current time.
And the important thing, I think, for everybody to understand is that you supply everything from hospital beds to all of the medical equipment you can imagine that can be in place. You supply nursing service, right? I mean, you are actively, just because we're saying they're at home, it doesn't mean that they're lying in bed and waiting. It's active care.
True. Most people receive their hospice benefit through their Medicare Part A benefit. Mm-hmm. And what that means is you have a team assigned to you that manages your care. So that typical team for any hospice is an RN, who is your main case manager, a CNA, who's a certified nurse assistant that helps with bathing, delivering supplies, changing sheets, a social worker, and a chaplain. Being a Catholic hospice, we're unique in that our main chaplain is a priest, which separates us from other hospices. So that main team is assigned to you, as well as any durable medical equipment you might need gets delivered to your house, whether that's a wheelchair, oxygen, hospital bed, a walker, bedside commode. In addition to that, AmeriCare, being a Catholic hospice, going back to that regard for life, we tend to supply things that maybe other hospices don't, such as nutritional supplements like Ensure. So that oftentimes is a huge benefit to our families also.
You're a certified grief recovery specialist. I know about the grief recovery program. It's an amazing program, but you're a specialist in one aspect of that. So from that, I'm assuming then that you were there even after the passing to help people in their grief at that time move the whole family as well as the patient through those last days, hours.
That's true. We do follow our families and keep in touch with them for 13 months after the loved one has passed away.
Really?
So we do have an interfaith chaplain also for those patients of ours that are non-Catholic and prefer to have an interfaith chaplain. And he as well heads up our bereavement department. And we also try to offer the Grief Recovery Method program, which is an 8-week program, at least twice a year for our families, our staff, our volunteers, as well as we do have an annual memorial mass that we host right now at Queen of Heaven's Catholic Mortuary Chapel every year. And that gives us an opportunity to invite our families back and to know that at that memorial mass, we pray for their loved ones by name. So we do want to keep in touch and be a constant source of referrals to other levels of care if they need it, and also to offer that bereavement support.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, because you said it's paid for by Medicaid Part A, or Medicare
right.
Part A, so people don't have to worry about access, or is that a different kind of a thing, or are your services available to everyone? I think a lot of us are confused about that.
That's true. Most of our patients and most patients will get their hospice benefit from their Part A benefit of Medicare. There are people that have insurance policies. Say they're not over 65, they may have an insurance policy. If we are contracted with that insurance, we can provide that care for them as well. And no one is ever denied just because they don't have the ability to pay. So we do have some patients, if they don't have a payer source and they're non-funded, that's where our nonprofit foundation comes into play, and it helps us provide care for them as well.
How much, because most of this care, the vast majority of the care, is done home-based, is there a limit to the number of patients? Do you ever have to say on the telephone, gee, I know we'd love to, but yeah, we're full.
We have too many?
We have too many.
No, we don't have to do that. We just hire more help.
That's like, okay. No, that's good. That's really good. This is, do you, as a Catholic hospice, and we have, and as a matter of fact, one of the sponsors of this program is the Catholic Cemeteries and Funeral Homes, the Diocese of Phoenix. Do you have an integral relationship with them? Can you make that kind of seamless as well?
We have. Over the past, you know, we received our decree from Bishop Olmsted in February 2012, and since then we've really tried to just continually develop our relationship with Catholic cemeteries and mortuaries, and it has been a blessing because we've been able to refer back and forth, being able to help families. Also, if there are special needs with families, perhaps they have the inability to pay, but they still want a proper Catholic funeral and burial for their loved one. They've been very, very generous with their help with us, and also with allowing us to host our annual memorial mass now every year. So it has been a blessing, and we have seen more of our families actually be because we've been able to help provide education choosing a proper Catholic funeral and burial for their loved one. And that's been a wonderful blessing that's come out of our ministry.
I'm just curious, do all of the hospitals know about you? Because the social workers in hospitals often present a list of possible hospice choices to patients if they, or to families, when they discover that, in fact, that is the next step for them. Are you known by them?
We are known. We actually have a very good reputation in the community. The problem is, and this is a great thing to bring up for people, is that most of the time, a hospital or doctor's office setting, they're going to funnel their patients in a particular direction of maybe a hospice or two that they have a relationship with and that they recommend. And that's fine for them to recommend that. But most people don't know that you have the choice as a patient, as a consumer, to choose who provides your hospice care. There are dozens of hospice companies in the state of Arizona. Most people don't understand that. So for many Catholics, that we have cards that sometimes they carry around that say I've pre-selected AmeriCare as my hospice provider so they can hand that over if they're being admitted to a hospital. But most people, we encourage them to let people know, let their doctors know, let the hospitals know if and when I do need that care and we need to make a referral for me to get hospice support, I'm Catholic or I just prefer to have AmeriCare. And we are very much known. Unfortunately, it's not always on a list that's being handed out. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. Sometimes a social worker or case manager will mention us, especially if they see that it's a Catholic family. Sometimes not, though. You really have to be proactive in knowing what you would prefer.
Do you go to assisted living homes, long-term homes, as well as to people who are living at home?
Yes, absolutely. Group homes, nursing facilities, assisted living communities. We have patients in all of those.
Excellent. All right. If people want to get in touch with you or find out more information, then what do they do?
They can go online to AmeriCareHospice.org. And read about us. We've had an ad in the Catholic Sun every month since 2012. Look at your Catholic Sun and see that ad. They can always call us directly at the office. There's no obligation. I go out and meet with families all the time and answer their questions. I do try to get around. I've been at several parishes, a few of the mortuaries, different gatherings, ministries, Eucharistic ministers, if we're having a ministry of care. Updates and then retreats, morning of renewal. I'm always available to go out and try to help educate people. So, and we do have a unique program with the diaconate here. So every other year we have new diaconate candidates. They've now have the opportunity to choose us to do some of their practicum hours and minister to a lot of our families and patients. And that's been a blessing.
That's just wonderful.
So hopefully people will find it easier and easier to find us and learn more about us.
That's great. Bobby, you've done a wonderful job, and thank you for the work that you're doing with AmeriCare Hospice. You have an open invitation to come back.
Thank you.
I just found this wonderfully fascinating.
Thank you. Yeah,
a lot of great information. Thank you for coming in.
Yes, please have me back.
I promise. Our guest has been Bobby Martinez, Catholic Mission Coordinator and Certified Grief Recovery Specialist for AmeriCare. Find out more at Is it AmeriCare Hospice or AmeriCare?
AmeriCare Hospice.
Okay. AmeriCareHospice.org. That's AmeriCareHospice.org. You're listening to the Bishop's Hour on Immaculate Heart Radio, AM 1310.